Well, good morning. It's really good to be here today. So I'll tell you a little more about my experiences this past week, the beginning of the sermon. So I just want to welcome everyone, especially any guests who are worshiping with us today, and those joining us via live stream. So would you join me in prayer as we enter into this time of worship? Almighty God, we come to worship you today. We come to hear the good news. We know that doubt, fear, and hatred are everywhere and can shake even the strongest of us. So we ask that during this time of worship and looking into your word, that you would shape us and transform us into faithful, hopeful people. Fill us with your love that passes all understanding. And we pray this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So would you join in the worship team in singing praises to the King?
Okay, I invite everyone to stand who can, and we'll get started.
You give and
invite the ushers to come forward? You might not know this song. It's called Unconditional, but the words to this song are some of my favorite words. So just listen to it, see what you think.
Will you join me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray a blessing over the tithes and offerings. As an act of worship, Lord, we turn these over to you to be used with the ministries of CrossNet, Lord, that they would be a blessing in our community and the many ministries that they provide for our communities here in the local area, Lord. That they would go out and spread the love of Jesus to the many people that they reach out to. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to do It Is Well, and we're just going to do it the old way. Men, you do the first part, women, you can do the second part, and I'd like to hear all the kids singing with their mom and dads, too. I think that'd be fun. So. Let's have some fun.
Can't
We'll invite any children to come forward for the children's message. There's plenty of room for everyone. Can you slide over just a little bit? There's something about that spot. Okay, we're good. We're good. Thank you. Thank you for coming front. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Well, I got some gadgets here with me this morning.
A piano.
Want to come and play a game, play a tune on it? Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Good. So you notice that this thing isn't plugged into anything. So what do you think makes it work?
Batteries,
that's right. And this thing is supposed to make all kinds of noises too, but it doesn't work.
No batteries.
You want to try it?
No.
Okay. Good. Okay, can I have that? So this thing doesn't work because it does not what?
Have batteries.
Right. So here is...
battery.
Right, it's a tiny little battery. So all I got to do is put that little battery in this, and it'll work. So I don't have a screwdriver with me, so I can't put it in. So I can't make that work today. But I want you to understand that without a battery, this thing is worthless, and this thing is worthless. Can you please sit down? Thank you. So without a battery, this thing is worthless. So I want to read you a couple of verses that talk about God's love. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge and have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." So what I want you to understand is this little battery represents love. So without a battery in these toys, they're worth nothing. And if I don't have love, if you don't have love in our hearts, then we're worth nothing as well. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and then there's a snack back there for you guys. So thank you for coming forward. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for these children. I ask for your special blessing upon them. May they know and begin to understand your deep love for each one of them. So I ask that you would just fill them with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, greetings to each one of you in the powerful and the strong name of Jesus Christ, that name above all names. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message, and also thank you for your prayers on my behalf and our family's behalf throughout this past week as we had a little abnormal experience. On Wednesday, mid-morning, I began having chest pains, and I don't know what a heart attack is supposed to feel like, but knowing that my dad passed away at 54 years old with a massive heart attack, I thought it might be wise to get things checked out. So I went to the ER. They admitted me then. After they told me I was going to be admitted, my blood pressure began to go higher. But I think they did every test possible on my heart. Everything came back okay. So I'm praising God and thanking you for your prayers because they were definitely felt as you're sitting there in the ER and you don't know what's happening, why you can get pretty anxious about things. And so your prayers were definitely felt. So we knew exactly when that went through the phone tree because there was a sense of peace and calmness that we could experience in light of everything that was happening. So again, thank you for your prayers. Just a word. Audrey sent me a text this morning about Alvin. So I'm going to read you about her brother, G. Alvin Wise, Jake, as most of you know him, Jake Wise. Audrey said, "Dad has a port which has drained the fluid from in and around his lung. They plan to remove that either today or tomorrow, then hopefully release him the following day." So that was the report on Alvin. He's still in the hospital, so we're going to have a prayer for him very shortly. And then concerning her brother, after a couple issues after his triple bypass surgery, Jake is on the mend. He has a long road to recovery ahead of him, so continue to pray for no more issues and for good pain management as he heals. So we're going to have a word of prayer for them in a moment. But also want to mention this morning also, our son Todd and his wife Julie. Bryce tested positive for COVID on Wednesday, and yesterday Julie was in the ER, and she was tested positive for COVID as well. So they're home, everyone's home, but I just want to have a word of prayer for healing for them and for peace for them as they go through this time as well. So would you join me in prayer this morning? Father God, we do come before you today, thanking you. You are the great physician. You're the great I am. You are Almighty God. So we just pause to recognize that fact today and just give you honor and glory and praise. I want to thank you for being able to be here today. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for the mercy and the grace that you've shown to me and Sandy. And now I just want to lift up to your throne of grace this morning Alvin Wise, as he's spending time in the hospital. Just ask Father God for your touch upon him today. I pray that you would minister peace to him through this time of uncertainty in his life. And also for Anna Mae, that you would fill her with your peace as well. We thank that you are a God that we can trust in, and you know what's best in our lives. And also for Jake, as he spends time in the hospital recovering from triple bypass surgery, I pray for healing in the name of Jesus. I pray for your touch of peace and grace as well. And also for his wife, Jane, and Jesse. We lift them up to your throne of grace also and ask for your peace to fill them through this time of mending and healing. So we do thank you, God, for your goodness. And again, we do thank you for your many, many, many blessings that you pour and shower down upon us. So open our ears and our hearts to hear your word to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be continuing our sermon series from 1 Corinthians 13, Love is the Win. So several times throughout this series that I've mentioned that there's an incredible spirit of fear in the air today. And that spirit of fear seems to be worldwide. From the war in Ukraine to the concerns about financial stability around the world to political and social unrest all around the globe. The drumbeat of fear seems to continue to beat louder and more frequently every day. The world watches anxiously and awaits anxiously what's next as anxiety and stress and fear seems to ratchet higher and higher with each passing day. So a few weeks ago, I mentioned that 1 John 4:18 says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And then I asked, if this is true, If it is true that perfect love drives out fear, then perhaps the opposite is also true, that fear drives out perfect love. I wonder if that's why there seems to be such a lack of love around the globe today. I wonder if that's why there sometimes seems to be a lack of love even among professing followers of Jesus Christ. I intentionally did not say among Christians, because the definition of a Christian today has been so watered down and become so shallow that everyone claims to be a Christian. But I believe that the cost of being a Christian or a Christ follower has become so unbiblical. Because I believe that following Jesus costs something, not in dollars and cents, but in denying yourself and submitting your life to the plans and the purpose that Almighty God has created each one of us for. I believe a huge part of being a follower of Jesus Christ is to live a lifestyle of worship. But here's the thing. We are taught by the society that we live in to be a consumer and not a communer. I also believe that when we learn to commune deeply with God the Father through spending time in His presence, we gain His attitude of love. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, 16 to 17a, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. John says, God is love. He does not say, love is God. The world in which we live today has a shallow and very selfish view of love and has turned those words around. The world thinks that love is what makes a person feel good, and it's okay to compromise moral principles in order to find love. But that isn't real love. In fact, it's exactly opposite of what 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us that love is. So I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 6. And now we'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude and is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And then we come to verse 7, which says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So here in verse 7, we see Paul applying a universal statement to love. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, most of us, and maybe it's safe to say, all of us, don't like universal statements applied to us, probably because most of the times universal statements seem to be negative. Universal statements using the word always and never are frequently used by individuals when they're involved in disagreements and conflicts as a way to emphasize the merits of their position. You always interrupt me. You always get your own way. You're always late. You're always, you fill in the blank. So I would suggest to you this morning that universal statements, when applied to relationships, are usually, not always, but usually negative, because most of the universal statements are an exaggeration that we're using in a disagreement. So here we see Paul applying a universal statement to love. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And I happen to believe that this is not an exaggeration, but is a truth about genuine Christ-like love. And also believe that in order to practice this kind of love, which goes against our natural inclinations, we need to be totally surrendered to Jesus Christ and filled with His Holy Spirit. And we need to ask God for His help to set aside our own agendas so that we can love others without expecting anything, anything in return. So I'd like to take a closer look at Paul's universal statements about love. Love always protects. Paul describes this kind of love as having a protective quality. That is, it watches out for others. It withstands annoyances and difficulties. If there's a shortcoming or a fault in the one that you're extending love to, this kind of love has the ability to cover it. Proverbs 10:12 says this, "Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs." The psalmist also highlights the connection between God's love and His protection in Psalm 68:5, where it says, "He, God, is a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows." And Psalm 91:14 also promises God's protection for those who love and trust Him. So one of the outstanding marks of love is that it always seeks to protect the loved one. Now, this doesn't mean that we excuse wrongdoing or seek to evade the natural consequences of sin. What it does mean is that we strengthen what is weak, shield what is vulnerable, and perhaps most importantly, forgive what is annoying and provoking to us. Love always protects. Love always trusts. So maybe it would be good to first understand what this description of love does not mean. Because love always trusts does not make a loving person naive and undiscerning. We're not talking about gullibility. What Paul is saying when he says that love always trusts is that love always believes in the other person. There's no second guessing or questioning of whether that person should be loved. Love is simply given. It is unconditional. The loved one does not need to perform to our expectations or achieve a certain goal in order to be loved. Just as Jesus loves His children unconditionally, He calls us to love others based on who He is, not on what others do. I also believe that when Paul says love always trusts, It means that there is no suspicion directed towards the one being loved. Love is always ready to believe the best about someone and give the benefit of the doubt to them. Perhaps the loved one has a checkered past or may in some way be undeserving of trust. Love always trusts by looking beyond the past and meet the need of the individual. Mistrust, caginess, and suspicion are at odds with genuine godly love. So I wonder, what would happen? What would happen if brothers and sisters in Christ would be able to set aside suspicions and mistrust and extend unconditional love to one another? Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Isn't that nice to know? Love always hopes. Sounds really nice, doesn't it? The Greek word translated as hope is from, and I'll probably butcher this, elpizo, which means to hope or wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. And it's used 32 times in the New Testament and expresses more than a wish or a desire, but a confident belief in the unseen. So just as God is called love in 1 John 4, Jesus is also called our hope in 1 Timothy 1:1 and other places as well. Hope not only concerns our belief in Jesus, but describes who he is as well. The hope within us is Jesus himself. If he lives within us, his hope will be seen in how we treat others. Part of showing love to others is hoping, and part of hoping is seeing the potential of others. Someone once said, if we treat others as they ought to be treated, we help them become what they are capable of becoming. In love, we can always be hopeful and show confidence in others. Now, this does not mean that we never confront someone when necessary. But it does mean that when we do confront, we do it with an attitude and a spirit of deep love, as described here in 1 Corinthians 13. So I would suggest to you this morning that the eternal impact of confronting someone with a spirit of love always hopes, that impact is immeasurable. And then lastly, we have love always perseveres. The love the Apostle Paul is speaking of here in 1 Corinthians is not a fleeting romance or a fading feeling. Instead, godly love always perseveres. During the good times and the bad times, the love of God helps people endure the challenges of life and remains steadfast. So if you're married, you probably made vows to your spouse on that day when you became husband and wife. And sometimes at those weddings, when they exchange vows, we hear these words, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part. The basis of this pledge is the fact that love perseveres. The kind of love that Jesus modeled was an enduring, was a persevering love that doesn't quit or give up. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Earlier in 1 Corinthians 4:12 and 13a, Paul, in his writing to the Corinthian believers regarding endurance, says this: "We work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly." This kind of perseverance in the face of opposition can only come from the love of God rooted deeply within our hearts. It's a supernatural expression because God has transformed us and changed us. So, you may be sitting there, you may be thinking, "Wow, that's some pretty heavy stuff, Larry. And by the way, Larry, you have no idea. You have no idea what I've experienced in life. You have no idea the depth of the pain that I've endured from being rejected again and again and again. You have no idea the depth of my pain because I've been betrayed by someone who I thought was a dear friend. And now you're standing here and you're telling me that I need to show this kind of always love to the persons or the person who has hurt me so very deeply. It's impossible. It ain't going to happen. I can't do that." So let me gently remind you of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 45a. "You have heard that it was said," this is Jesus speaking, "you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." But we got a problem. Here's what I see. We live in a culture that has taught us to respond to issues in our lives that may need attention. Those issues that, when we're confronted, may make us squirm a bit. So we've been taught to respond by saying, "But what about that over there?" It's called whataboutisms. It's a way to deflect attention from one issue by bringing up another, often unrelated, issue or problem. Do you know what that's called? It's called making excuses. So I'm going to leave you with this question to ponder. Is it possible that my reason, that your reason for withholding this always kind of love is actually an excuse. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. And we've looked at this verse here that you've given to us in your word that tells us love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And I confess to you this morning, many times I fall far short of extending that kind of love to the persons around me. And I suspect there may be others here this morning who can say the same thing. So I'm asking you to help me and help everyone sitting here this morning to be able to extend this kind of always love to those in our families, those we work with, and those we worship with. Continue to do a supernatural working in our hearts, changing us and transforming us into who you desire for us to be, as individuals and also as a corporate body here at Bowmansville. For your honor and your glory, we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we have a closing song this morning, there's numbers of the children have already gone back to school. Some of you are going to be going back to school next week or in the very near future. And so we want to have a word of prayer for you. And before we do that, I'm going to invite Brian to come forward then in a minute to have that prayer for all the children and youth that are heading back to school. But I want to thank each one of you who've signed up to participate in the Pray For Me campaign. That's a campaign to pray for the children and the youth of this congregation. As we sign up, and you should have been given a person, a child or a youth to pray for, please do that. And please contact the person you've been assigned to and let them know. They already know that you're praying for them, but a personal face-to-face interaction is a way to build relationships with one another within this congregation. So take that seriously and take the time this morning, if your person you're praying for is here, to do that. Also, this coming week, before and after school is going to be opening up again, the program in our church basement. So I just want to pause and have a word of prayer for that, the staff and the children that will be attending throughout the coming year. So would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for the opportunity we have right in this church building to interact with not only students, but also their parents within this community as they bring their children here and entrust us to care for them while they go to work. So I ask, Father God, you give the staff here, give them a deep love for every individual, whether it be the children or the parents that comes into this building, that they would love them unconditionally, and that those people would understand and know the depth of the love that we have for them. So we ask that you would bless this year. It'd be a good year, and there'd be many interactions of showing your love to the children and the parents of these children in our community. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, Brian, would you come and have a prayer for the children going back to school?
So if you're going to be going back to school in some capacity, a student of some capacity, whether it's from the very youngest preschooler to the college student, Raise your hand high so we can see it. All right, there's a number of you. So now, if your life is affected in one way or another, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you work at the school, you're a parent or a grandparent whose childcare responsibilities change, or maybe you're part of a ministry here at church or whatever, if your life is affected in one way or another because of school, raise your hand. That's just about, well, should be just about everybody, I would think. But yeah, there's a lot of people. So, yeah, our youth group calendar changes at the end of August, beginning of September every year, because that's back to school time. It's a big deal. So I'll just take a minute now and pray for everybody involved there. All right, let's pray. God, I just thank you for the opportunity to learn in the way you made us and the way you made our minds. And I just pray for all the individuals now that are going back to school. I just pray for their academic development, their social development. Some of that stuff can be hard. God, I just pray that they can know that you're with them, and I just pray that you give them comfort as they go back to school, whether they like it or not. And I just pray for all the parents that are involved in school too. It changes our lives. It changes childcare situations, all the activities that come and go with the school year. There's more pickups and drop-offs, or at least different pickups and drop-offs. I just pray for that situation for everybody involved there. I pray for grandparents who may be doing childcare or babysitting, and just pray for everyone involved in this back to school time. And I thank you for transitions like this in our lives, that we can realize that it's not about us, that you've got this through any transition that we go to, especially right now with the back to school time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Still will follow. No turn.
And just a quick reminder, if you happen to notice in your bulletin or not, tonight is Holy Spirit Fellowship evening. We will be here at 6:30. If you have a chance, step on out.
And I have another announcement I almost forgot. It's in the bulletin. The youth group will be showing our pictures from the summer service project in Alaska this Wednesday evening at 7:30 here. So it's going to be pictures and genuine commentary from the youth. So come on out. Don't miss it.
And also, just a reminder, this is the last Sunday of the month, so the children are invited to come forward and guess the amount of coins that have been collected for My Coins Count after the service. Also, I just want to draw your attention to the note in the bulletin. Last Sunday, Keith Cotton was here from Servants, talking about the community service project that we're in collaboration with other churches in the area through Servants. In collaboration with CrossNet Ministries. That date for that service day is October the 1st. If you want to participate, you need to sign up. The easiest way to do that is online. There's a volunteer form to fill out so that you can fill out your skills, the things you have to offer, so they can match you up with a job that suits your skills. And you need to sign up by September 17th if you want to participate. If you have any questions, you can ask Glenn Zimmerman or myself about that. And I also forgot to pray for my son Todd and Julie and Bryce in my prayer, so I'm going to offer that in the closing prayer. So would you stand? So God, we do indeed lift up Todd, Julie, and Bryce to your throne of grace, and I pray, Almighty God, for your healing touch upon their physical bodies. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would reach down and heal them. And I pray that as they journey through this time, that you would impart your deep peace into their hearts and into their minds. May they rest in knowing that you care deeply for them. You love them deeply. And you'll walk with them every step of the way. We thank you for those promises. And now would you receive this parting blessing? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.